You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern at 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO. Follow us on social media on Twitter at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. I made mention of it over the past couple of weeks. Pull out your phone if you haven't been doing it already. If it's not already saved in your phone, in your contacts, do it right now. 331-979-1369. Save that as Locked On Bulls. Anytime you got comments, text messages, voicemails, whatever, you've got the number easy access. Just call us Locked On Bulls. Save that number in your phone. Matt, welcome back. Happy Friday to you. Bulls in Mexico last night. I know it made for a pretty long night for you last night. Bulls couldn't pick out a win against the Magic, who had lost three straight coming into this game. And this is the one thing that I'll start with, Matt. This brand of basketball that the Bulls are playing is not fun to watch. It is increasingly more difficult to watch as the games continue to progress. The slowed down pace, the guys we were excited to see come back and actually play and be able to run it up and down the court, it's just ugly, man. And last night was absolutely no different.
No, it wasn't. It was gross, man. Honestly, I mean, it's funny that we heard that talk from Boylan about how the pace and space era of Hoiberg was gonna be gone, at least for a time being, because he was more concerned about slowing things down, not because he wants to play some antiquated style of basketball that is, you know, all, you know, slow half court offense stuff. He wants to play the Popovich style of ball, which is, you know, a lot of passes and the whole, you know, half second rule. As soon as you get the ball, in less than a half a second, decide and you know, either dribble, pass, or shoot. And that it still can be a style of offense in which the ball moves around and you have player movement, ball movement, and efficient offense. And that's what he kept saying. He wanted the offense to be more efficient, and he felt like he needed to slow things down a little bit to kind of eliminate some of the mistakes and the bad habits and increase the offense's efficiency. Well, guess what? We've had a handful of games now under Boylan, and the efficiency has not gotten better. If anything, it's gotten worse. You saw the Bulls cough up a double-digit lead and end up losing by 20 at home to the Kings earlier this week in a game in which they had 27 turnovers. Is that offensive efficiency? No, it's not. And in a very winnable game against a blah opponent in the Orlando Magic last night, you saw once again not only Zach LaVine with six more turnovers, but Chris Dunn, four turnovers. The guy that you're hoping can come in and be the floor general and the starting point guard that this team still needs to find out whether or not Chris Dunn is that guy including a crucial offensive foul late in that game with the score tied and the Bulls had a chance to win. So, yeah, it's kind of laughable to talk about Boylan's comments as far as offensive efficiency right now.
What kills me is this, Matt. The Sun-Times tweeted this last night during the game. Jim Boylan's ideal offense is what he calls the 0.5-second rule. He wants a decision made by his players in half a second of getting the ball to drive, shoot, or pass. That's the biggest offensive transition from under Hoiberg, and one this roster seems stuck in. Let me bring up a quote about what Hoiberg wanted to do at the beginning of this season. So this is from Zach Lowe at ESPN a couple weeks ago. Their pace of play, another alleged Hoiberg hallmark, jumped all over the place. Hoiberg loves to shift the ball from side to side. The Bulls rank 10th, 10th, 15th, and 13th in passes per game over his tenure per NBA.com. Whatever. He talked before this season about installing the famed San Antonio 0.5 rule, a command that no player hold the ball longer than half a second before shooting, passing, or driving. Shockingly, some players, ones he did not pick, had trouble with that. So it's kind of funny that the transition of this offense, what Boylan wants to do, is literally what Hoiberg was trying to do this season. So there is no transition under Boylan. Boylan is doing exactly what Hoiberg wanted to do, except at a terrible pace. Boylan's doing this at a terrible, horrible way. In no way do I see this working at all. And like, he's grinding these guys down, and I get it. Less possessions mean you're not going to get blown out by 30 or 40 or 50 on a night. But, I mean, there is no transition when it comes to fixing what Hoiberg was doing. You're just basically copycatting that with a different attitude. I don't know. I'm blown away by those both those comments. It's so hypocritical and just it flat out a lie. It's a lie.
Well, lies breed more lies, Jordan. And whether it's the coach you're talking about or the guys who put him into power and are backing him, I mean, we've been hearing nothing but lies over the past week. We heard John Paxson try and tell us that they had a good week. What is that other than a lie? Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and then he said it's none of our business about why Hoiberg was fired, what the reasons were for firing Hoiberg. You know, that's none of our business. And I go back to this. It's like the Bulls management, the coaching staff thinks the fans are stupid. That's not the case. Look, we're calling you out on your bullshit, and this is calling it out on the bullshit that's happening. And let's go back to the Magic game. Outside the contradictions that were just made by whatever offense Boylan's trying to run here. Last night, Matt, I was a little bit concerned about the turnovers. You know, we had mentioned that turnovers have been a problem all season, but the Bulls in five games under Boylan are leading the league in turnovers with averaging 20 turnovers a game. 20. You can't expect to win a basketball game turning the ball over 20 times. And I look at the two guys that handle the ball the most, Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine had two turnovers late in that fourth quarter that cost the Bulls. And man, we can also talk, while I'm on Zach LaVine real quick, dude, why are you trying to pad your stats at the end of the game and you almost got yourself hurt? And we don't even know for sure if he's 100% okay. At the end of the game, he went to the basket, tried to drive, and came down on his knee and came up limping. He said after the game that he was all right, but still, like, little stupid brainless things like that kill me. Kill me. And Zach LaVine, 6 turnovers last night. Chris Dunn, 4 turnovers. You can't do that. Your ball handlers can't turn the ball over 10 times and expect to win games and expect to close out games late in the fourth quarter.
We've seen LaVine commit some really egregious turnovers late in games, and not just late in games, but late in winnable games.
Right, it's a common theme now.
I do feel a little bad for him, though, because on that last possession where the Bulls, you know, had given up, I think it was like 4 straight free throws to former Bull DJ Augustine as the Magic were icing the game, the Bulls didn't have a timeout left. Boylan burned them all by that point in the fourth quarter, and you know, he rightfully so took some heat for that, because come on, how do you not save a timeout for that situation in this close of a game? But like, the Bulls couldn't even get the ball in bounds. Markkanen was, you know, sitting there on the baseline trying to find a pass, an outlet pass. Chris Dunn was covered and not really trying to get open that much. LaVine finally managed to get Lowry to find him, but the pass was so close to the sideline that LaVine had to try and tiptoe the sideline as he made his way past the half-court line and ended up turning the ball over and ended up rolling his ankle on that play, as you described. So, like, I don't necessarily see that as LaVine was trying to pad his stats. I think LaVine was trying to do, you know, trying to make something happen.
I mean, they were down 6 at the time, though. They were down 6 with 3 seconds left.
I'm not calling that LaVine padding his stats. I'm calling that LaVine not giving up and trying to make something happen.
The game was over at that point, though.
I don't disagree with you. But for a team right now that has been so like scrutinized and condemned by their new head coach for not trying hard enough, not showing enough fight and enough spirit.
Where their hearts are and where their spirits are really in a good place.
And all that kind of, you know, random adjectives.
It opened more lines of communication. Togetherness. We've practiced hard, coachable, teachable, and I'm hoping we can become more reliable.
That you want, heart, hustle, and muscle, that kind of thing.
I've got a willing group. Where their hearts are and where their spirits are really in a good place.
You know, I'm not judging Zach LaVine for trying to make something happen on a last possession of a game where the game probably is not within reach when you're down by six and there's like, you know, 8 seconds left.
You know, I'm one of the biggest Zach LaVine defenders out there. So, I got to call him on his BS, and I disagree with that. You know, we talk about the idiocy that happens late in games, and you know, even if the Bulls were up a dozen or whatever, doing things that might get you in a place that could be hurt. Like we talked about, like I think about back to things like this that happened, like back to when Derrick Rose was left in the game when the Bulls were up a bunch and he ended up getting hurt. Like little things like that, decisions like that at the time might be all right, but man, I don't want you going down hurting yourself again in a game that was already over. So, like, I just don't understand that move. And sure, maybe if the Bulls were within three or within four, but the game was over and there was 3 seconds left on the shot clock and he almost hurt himself. So I hope he's all right. But
you can't equate that to, as opposed to dribbling out the ball when you're up 10 late, going and like trying to pad your stats when the game's already in hand. Those are not the same thing, Jordan.
Meet me halfway here. Was it really needed for him to go to the basket like that? I mean, I get it, the whole hustle to the end of the whistle, to the end of the shot clock, I get it, but come on, man, like, they were up two possessions, there was 3 seconds left on the shot clock. But anyway, the entire point is this, if Zach LaVine has to miss any extended amount of time, this team is going to average 70 points a night. Like, he's the only one that is for sure going to go in there and score, and has been the only reliable scorer on this team all season, him and Justin Holiday in spurts. But if he misses any amount of time, this team is going to be doomed. So I don't want him getting hurt on stupid, meaningless plays like that. And I'm surprised Boylan, who's the loudmouth he is at the sideline, didn't grab him at the end of the game. And is like, dude, what are you doing? It's the end of the game. Like, don't get yourself hurt. But maybe that's Boylan. Maybe Boylan wanted him to drive to the basket like that. So I don't know. That irritated me at the end of the game.
Yes, it would stink to see LaVine get hurt on what was a meaningless play in a game that they had already lost. I'll meet you on that. But I'm not buying that it was unnecessary for him. You're making it sound like he was doing something so completely reckless. He was put in a bad situation because the Bulls couldn't get the ball in bounds in a situation where they didn't have a timeout. Yeah, it was probably a game that was out of reach, but Zach LaVine didn't think so, and Zach LaVine was just trying to get the ball in. And he got the ball in, but got the ball in on a bad spot on the floor and was trying to do something, was trying to sprint up the court and make something happen. And it sucks that he rolled his ankle on a play like that that probably, grand scheme, didn't matter. But for a team that's getting called out for its toughness and heart and effort and all that kind of stuff, I can see why he was not ready to give up in that moment.
Let's get to the bigger news at hand here. I mean, 30 minutes before the game dropped, we got another bomb drop. Like, if the Bulls weren't having a bad week already, it continues. Jabari Parker, it was made mentioned by Malika Andrews shortly before the game, the tip-off last night, that Jabari Parker was going to be out of the rotation now.
Well, there could be more controversy on the horizon. A report just before game time from Malika Andrews of ESPN.com stating that Jabari Parker will be taken out of the rotation after tonight's game. That may be due to the fact that Chandler Hutchison is not available. Maybe he gets those reserve minutes at the three spot. But I can't imagine how this will go over, both for Jabari and inside that Bulls locker room.
It's not going to go over very well. He's the highest paid player on the team this year with an option of another $20 million next year. So,
wow, this is like General Hospital. You're searching for tomorrow. One day of our lives. You know, it's like a soap opera right now. I mean, I hope and pray that that we get it together.
Matt, I'm going to give you the floor on this one because this is all you, man. You called it all the way. I want to hear your thoughts.
Feels good to be right, man. I mean, I can't enjoy it too much because it's just further validating how dysfunctional this organization is. I said it from day one. I said it, and you know, I got grilled a little bit when people came back and clapped to me, say, "Oh, you know what happened to there's zero chance that this team would sign Jabari? Look here, here he is. Did you enjoy his press conference?" And I was like, I wanted to so firmly believe that there was no chance in hell that the Bulls would sign Jabari because it made so little sense. And I wanted to believe that this front office was actually finally starting to get their shit together and would not repeat the same mistake, because signing Jabari is the exact same mistake as it was to sign Dwayne Wade, who they paid, what, $38, $39 million for 60-some games? Cool. Well, you just paid Jabari Parker $20 million for about 28 games to figure out that he is not a fit on this team. And that was what I was chirping from day one as soon as the Jabari rumors started flying. It doesn't make sense to sign him. He can't play at the three, and you're already overbooked at the four. So what the hell are we doing here? And people could talk all they want about how the NBA is shifting to a positionless kind of sport. And it's like, oh, you don't need to have these, you know, rigid rules of you have a point guard and a shooting guard, a wing, a power forward and a center, and it can be more flexible and fluid than that. And that's all well and good. But if Jabari Parker is still a square peg in the round hole as far as the other pieces that this Bulls team is building around right now, then it still matters that he doesn't fit. And what did we hear Jim Boylan say last night? As cryptic as he was, there were still some things that you could take away from it, which was he said, it's hard to play Jabari right now because it's hard to play three fours. And Markkanen's back and Bobby Portis is back. And clearly Boylan and the Bulls really want to believe in Bobby Portis. And Bobby Portis won the job over Jabari before he got hurt. So now that Markkanen and Portis are back, and the fact that this team still sees the value in giving Robin Lopez some minutes and probably sees the defensive issues with trying to play Bobby as your backup five to kick Robin out of the rotation, you now have Boylan saying, you know, I like playing Bobby and Robin Lopez together. And when you saw Bobby and Robin Lopez on the floor last night, they did some good things. Bobby had 15 points off the bench. Robin had 11. Like, that pair works. So with that and the fact that Boylan agrees, at least it seems to agree with Fred, that Jabari can't play the three in the NBA, then where do his minutes go? And we heard Boylan also say he likes Hutchinson. And if Hutchinson were not sick and had to miss this game last night, Jabari wouldn't have been in at all. And as soon as Hutchinson comes back, Jabari's out of the rotation. And that's why he only played 4 minutes last night. So they're essentially admitting to us that Jabari is a square peg in a round hole. He doesn't fit anywhere in this rotation with these group of players. And, oh, well, it was a short-term commitment. We just want to add a young talent. We're not worried about fit right now. Well, guess what? Here it is. Oh, and the other issue with Jabari and the whole I don't play defense thing?
They don't pay players to play defense.
Maybe people, you know, took the quote out of context and are harping on him too hard for it. I'm having a debate on Twitter right now as we're recording with C-Red Fred about that quote.
No, I'm not going to say that I won't, but to say that's a weakness is like saying that's everybody's weakness, because I've scored 30s and 20s on a lot of guys who say they play defense.
But it certainly didn't ingratiate him to the fan base. And the other tidbit that we heard from Casey Johnson's latest report is that, according to his sources, Jabari, it was made clear to Jabari that as far as his minutes going forward, any minutes that he might get, it will be based on how Boylan judges his effort in practice, especially on the, wait for it, defensive end of the floor. So we haven't learned anything new. The Bulls just took Jabari out of the rotation for all of the reasons that I said it was a bad idea to sign Jabari in the first place. So there you have it.
Going back to you getting trolled in the summer, that was more so you saying a 0% chance that the Bulls would sign him. It wasn't more so about the take that he doesn't fit with this team, because I think the majority of the fan base realized that. And there were a fraction of the fan base. We did have callers and texters say to us, you guys are crazy, give the guy a chance, give the guy an opportunity. He was a former second round pick, all of that, or former number two overall pick, like all of that stuff. Okay, fine. I sat here in the summer and said, fine, you know, I don't like the signing, but whatever, I'll give him a chance. It's 1 year, whatever. we come into training camp, like you had mentioned, the quotes and stuff, like they don't pay players to play defense, fine. And there's some validity to that. Look at Marcus Smart's contract compared to what Jabari Parker just got paid for 1 year. Like, I mean, 2 years, $40 million compared to Marcus Smart's 4 years, $52 million contract. He's right, in a sense. But saying that publicly doesn't help your image when you just put the uniform on for the first time in 2 weeks. Like, that's not a good opening statement. The other thing, too, is, like, we're getting all bent out of shape that Jabari is not going to play anymore. And if you're really trying to win games, it's nonsense that Parker's sitting on the bench. Think about how much the Bulls gave up in order to get that pick last year, that pick that ended up being Chandler Hutchison. They made a promise to the guy a month before. They took a player that was 4 years in college. So, yes, I'm happy that Hutchison's at least going to get a shot to play, and we're going to be able to see what he has, because I already know what I see in Jabari Parker. I already know what that is, and that's we're not picking up his option next year. So I'm okay with that. But in turn, like, people are pitching the idea, like, they wanted to make fun of Parker's play in the game, and yes, he isn't a fit, and yes, he can score. But at the same time, now everybody's pissed that he's sitting on the bench. It's like, which way do you want to go with this? Like, I'm okay with giving some credit to Boylan in his first 10 days as head coach, that he's going to put Parker on the bench because he doesn't fit. I'm fine with that, and I'd rather see the rookie play. But it goes back to the incompetence and the accountability of the front office. Who's the one who signed this guy? Who's the one pitched the fan base in the summer that said, we feel like he's an important part of this core and he can fit with the guys growing forward? And how about Parker's comments in preseason, Matt? I retweeted it on our account. He said, it's not about building months. I'm not thinking about short term. I'm trying to build years here. Well, he hasn't even lasted to Christmas.
Well,
so
he was fooling himself if he thought he was going to be in a Bulls uniform for the rest of his career. That's a joke. But
do you agree with me, though, that, like, it, for the betterment of what we want to see for the rest of the season, playing Chandler Hutchison over Jabari Parker is the move, and it's the smart move, even though they are paying Parker $20 million to sit on the bench?
Yes, absolutely, 100%. And it still, you know, makes me fuming with rage that this is where we are, and that they paid this guy $20 million. And not only that, but bragged about the financial flexibility that allowed them to do so. As you were saying with Paxton justifying the signing, it was also Michael Reinsdorf who was like raving about how supporting his front office, saying they've done a great job with cap flexibility. And look, we were able to bring in Jabari with that cap flexibility. Dude, you used that cap flexibility to pay a guy $20 million when you were bidding against no one but yourselves. So to brag about that was ridiculous. But going back to Jabari versus giving minutes to Hutchison, yes, of course. Jabari was clearly an experiment to see if this, you know, piece of young talent who had a rough start and an injury-plagued start to his career could come and add something to this young core. Clearly, it's not working out. So, knowing that, what is the point of playing Jabari at like moving forward when you know that he's not a part of your plan? It was an experiment. It didn't work. So now you have this kid in Chandler Hutchison who really hasn't gotten that much run this season. There are issues with, you know, his shot is slow. He's not really much of an offensive threat, but you like his defense. You like his rebounding, and you're hoping to see some progression with his offense that he might actually turn into a semi-decent 3-and-D in this league, which is a spot that this Bulls roster is slowly lacking or sorely lacking outside of the veteran Justin Holiday, who also not really a piece of this team's future. So if you know, maybe they trade Holiday or maybe they don't. But either way, you need to start giving Hutchison minutes, and not just like, you know, pointless scrub minutes off the bench, but you need to see how he looks with the other pieces of this core. You spent a first-round draft pick on this kid. You gave this kid a draft promise, reportedly. And this is the return you got for trading away Nico Mirotić when, you know, for all the ups and downs of Nico's tenure here, it certainly looks like Nico's turning himself into a pretty darn good player in the NBA these days. So you really hope that after having to trade Nico away, that the return you got on him and a kid you drafted in the first round and gave a draft promise to is actually someone worth playing. So if you do want him to be a part of this team's core, you better figure out right now how he works with the rest of this rotation. Thus, yeah, I'm fine with it. You want to admit to us and to yourselves that the Jabari Parker experiment has failed, less than 30 games into the season, fine. We'll make fun of you about that today and tomorrow and the next day. But in the meantime, in what is a lost season, let the kid play and see what he's got.
And fires away. Bang! It's over!
More likely to happen this season. Jabari gets traded. Jabari gets a buyout. Jabari remains on this team to the end of the season.
Jabari gets a buyout.
How quickly do you think that happens?
I mean, I think we'll see if there's any kind of communication between Jabari and his reps and the Bulls to figure out just exactly how over this experiment is. Then that will probably dictate how soon or how much of a wait there is as far as when that buyout happens. But I mean, by benching him, you kill any trade value that he had, which is another laughable aspect to this whole mess that we're in right now. So, I mean, finding a trade partner, who wants to see, you know, even if Jabari looked semi-decent in some of these recent stretch of games and some team out there who's on their way to the playoffs sees Jabari as a valuable, you know, whether it be, I don't think it would be a starting spot, but, you know, even a bench scorer, you want to take on the, you know, the $20 million? Like, yeah, you have the team option and you could just use Jabari as a half-season loaner, but there's a lot of baggage that comes with that. So, no, I don't think he has much of a trade value. I didn't think he had much of a trade value before. Now that they've benched him, wave that trade value goodbye. And finishing out the season here, what's the point? It would do no one any good to have Jabari sulking on the bench and completely out of the rotation for the entirety of the rest of this season. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I'm curious to what the reaction is from the players in the locker room. I can't imagine this is going to go over well. I mean, just from the quotes from Zach LaVine and a few other of the teammates, they seemed like they were behind Parker and, you know, said he's been playing his best stretch of basketball leading up to this point over the last couple of weeks. And now that he's completely out of the rotation, I wonder how players in that locker room take it. Because I'm curious what the relationship is between some of the guys that are going to be here long-term and what they are with Parker. I know Zach LaVine and him have a pretty decent relationship. But outside of that, I wonder how this goes over, and especially with the leadership committee that's just gotten put into place. But, yeah, and I mean, like, who's going to trade for him if there's any inclination that he's going to get bought out? Like, they'll just wait to buy until he gets bought out and then see where he can go. I mean, if a team really wants him, maybe, but, like, that's, I don't even think that's on the table at this point. So, yeah, it's going to be weird. It's going to be interesting to follow over the next handful of weeks to see what the Bulls decide to do with him. But I can't imagine leaving and letting him linger on the bench for months on end is going to do any good for this team. Like, similar to what happened in Milwaukee, where he kind of got benched and kind of got ousted in that role with Jason Kidd. Like, things started to spiral out of control the longer they left him there. So, I don't know. I don't know what happens, but I think I'm agreeing with you in the buyout is probably the most likely scenario here. All right, let's get on to a few other topics. I know we had a lot to do and a little amount of time to do it in. So, we touched on Parker. Touched on Hoiberg, Boylan, offensive changes, and the Magic last night. So let's go to the leadership committee really fast, Matt. We didn't mention who was named on that leadership committee. So for those who don't know right now, it's Robin Lopez, Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine, Justin Holiday, and Bobby Portis. Why isn't Wendell Carter Jr. on this?
I guess because he's a 19-year-old rookie.
That's such a lame answer. And it's true. It's probably right.
Yeah, I'm not that. That's what the answer is. I'm not saying I agree with it. But that's what the answer is.
So, I mean, it's kind of odd that, to me, I mean, I understand the whole veteran perspective, and you need somebody, if you're going to create this, whatever, this committee, that you need veterans on this committee who've been around a long time. But, like, a guy that could potentially be traded in the weeks to come in Holiday as part of your leadership committee? Like, Robin Lopez, who's only going to be here probably till the end of the year, is a part of that leadership committee? Like, I don't know. I don't understand that. Bobby Portis, whose career with the Chicago Bulls is still up in the air, is a part of that leadership committee. Like that to me, like, I don't get that. I don't get it. It's like a short-term fix, right? Instead of long-term, this leadership committee should be a stepping stone in the right direction of this core. And, like, this is just piecemeal short-term, like, Band-Aid over the actual problem. And I don't know if that works. I don't know what your thoughts are.
As far as Holiday being on it, like, whether or not he gets traded this season before the deadline, which is a possibility, but certainly not a guarantee. And those of you who still think you could get multiple second-round picks for him, you're out of your fucking mind. That's not happening.
Pair of seconds.
No.
Pair of seconds. Four for five from three last night.
That is an absurd hill to die on, Jordan. And let's...
Pair of seconds.
No fucking way is that happening.
Pair of seconds.
Nope. Nope. I mean, personally, I'd take a, you know, a loaf of bread and some deli ham. Stop it.
He's worth more than that. No, get out of here.
We know that this Bulls team is not great when it comes to negotiating trades. Take what you can get for him. If it's a second round pick, cool. They'll probably trade it away for cash anyway. He is not getting two second rounds back. No way in hell. Okay. But back to the leadership committee. If you want to say that you value Justin as one of the older veterans on this team and a leader in the locker room, then even if he's not in long-term plans, at least for this season and keeping this boat afloat and making sure that there isn't another mutiny, you want to name him one of the people on the leadership committee? Fine. I don't have a problem with that. Even if the guy's not long-term, whatever. You still have LaVine and Markkanen, two of your core building blocks, as members of this leadership committee, and you have the emotional young leader of this team who hopefully is a part of the team moving forward, and Bobby Portis on the leadership committee, though some are advocating for the Bulls to trade Bobby while they can. Whatever, whatever. It's the fact that they need, or they think they need, this leadership committee that's the most laughable aspect. And this, the forming of this leadership committee, I can't say that phrase without jokingly saying it in a tone of voice. It's just an overcorrection from Boylan, who realized that he was treating his players like kids and saying, I'm the captain, I'm the boss, this is a dictatorship, it's not a democracy, fall in line, get in line, non-negotiable, and saying, maybe that came across a little harsh and my players immediately found a problem with that and almost no-showed me on practice because of the way that I'm treating them. So it was just a BS way for Boylan to say, well, everyone, you know, these are grown men, these are professionals, and I want them to know that they have a voice, and if they have grievances, they can bring them to me, and they can bring them to me through the leadership committee. But even forming one is still laughably immature. It's like, what is this? Are we in the fucking Boy Scouts right now? Leadership committee? What NBA team needs this? This is a joke. And Boylan is like, here's this carrot, here's this thing to appease you, to say, we all have a voice, let's form the leadership committee, and feigns enthusiasm for it, say, like, I'm jacked up about this leadership committee, it's going to be great. And in the meantime, still saying, oh, by the way, I'm still the coach and they're still the players. It's all laughable.
So we talked about, you know, the scuffling and the rumors and everything that was said building up to Fred Hoiberg's departure. And one of those was Antonio Blakeney's comments made in-game when they were up in Milwaukee a few weeks ago. So originally it was said that Antonio Blakeney came off the floor when Fred Hoiberg pulled him out of the game and said, why the fuck are you taking me out? Well, there was a follow-up to that, and I'm just going to read it from Darnell Mayberry from The Athletic. So it said, allow me to start with a bit of housekeeping. It was unfair to Antonio Blakeney and former coach Fred Hoiberg. In my story last week about the Bulls' waning faith in Fred Hoiberg, I wrote that Blakeney directed some colorful language toward Hoiberg in asking why he was being removed from a game earlier this season. I cited team sources in the report, a report that The Athletic stands by, but I didn't hear the comment myself, and while scrambling to report and write the piece, I never gave Blakeney nor Hoiberg a chance to address the allegations. I've spent much of this hectic past week trying to make it right as best as I can, and after careful consideration of a handful of ideas, I settled on this format. Stay with me. Blakeney denies ever saying it. Hoiberg, who has chosen not to be quoted, said Blakeney didn't say it either. Blakeney respectfully refuted the allegations on Twitter upon learning of the comments I attributed to him in my story. I immediately retweeted Blakeney's response, realized that I had been unfair by not giving him his say. To be fair to Blakeney, who has been professional and a stand-up guy since I began covering him last season, I circled back to him so that he could address the allegation. So in full, here it is in as fast as I can read it. Blakeney's side of it is, obviously, I saw the report saying I cursed Coach Fred Hoiberg, asking him why I came out of the game. No, I didn't say that. Obviously, me being a younger player in the league and a minimum salary guy who is just trying to make it, an undrafted guy, that's nothing I would ever even think in my mind to say. I've never been that type of person. Even in high school, I was a McDonald's All-American. I never cursed the coach or anything like that. So I don't really know where that came from, but I kind of just wanted to clear the air or that because I didn't want that image there out there of me. I don't want anybody to think that of me. I don't want any coach in the league or any coach anywhere to think that I would say that to them. And I have the utmost respect for Coach Fred Hoiberg, and I would never say that to him. He definitely coached me hard, and I never said anything back. I just kind of stayed obedient to him. Like I said, I've got the utmost respect for Coach Fred. He was a great coach to me, so I would never do anything like that. So that was just a follow-up from Blakeney, and just wanted to make our listeners aware of that. Are you buying Blakeney? Because I think I'm buying this. I think maybe things got misconstrued, and I'm kind of buying into this, and I was always shocked. I was like misunderstood when a low-salary guy who just got a full NBA contract would say something that extreme to Fred Hoiberg, who's been around for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, good for Blakeney for standing up for himself and refuting what he thought was misinformed reporting, and good for Darnell Mayberry for taking the time to apologize and correct it. That's all well and good. Everybody did the right thing. Good job. Way to be good human beings. But when we were talking about, why hasn't Blakeney gotten any minutes recently? He is clearly in the doghouse. We were thinking, well, maybe this has something to do with it. If he cursed out Fred in front of the rest of the team, maybe that's what put him in the doghouse. Well, if this is true, and Blakeney did not, in fact, say this, then that rules that out. But as far as what this means for Blakeney moving forward, I don't think this changes anything. To be validated to say, I didn't say this to Fred, I didn't curse out Fred, I'm a scrapper trying to make his way as a minimum salary guy, I would never do something that disrespectful, fine. It doesn't change the fact that in Jim Boylan's eyes, Blakeney is still a sadly predictable player on the offensive end who has more shot attempts than passes this season, which is an absurd statistic. Absurd. The number of people in the NBA who have that to be true is probably a one-person list, and that list is Antonio Blakeney. More shot attempts than passes. So clearly Boylan doesn't love that. And the other thing is that Blakeney doesn't play any defense. So Boylan also doesn't love that. So as far as does this change anything for Blakeney to have this correction out there? No, I don't think it changes a damn thing. I don't think Blakeney's playing at all.
Yeah, I don't think it changes anything as far as his role goes, like on this team. Boylan's pretty set in his ways. He's going to play the guys that he feel like can make an impact on both sides of the ball. Like, in obvious case, Robin Lopez being out there, which, we should give a little bit of credit to Robin Lopez. Ever since his benching, his not going to play in any of these games, we're going to get a look at the young guys. And since he's been reinserted back into the lineup, he's actually been pretty productive, which I'm surprised, because we talked about how his production just fell off a cliff at the beginning of the season. So credit to Robin Lopez, but I think you're right. I think it makes the most sense. This makes Blakeney look at least a little bit accountable and wants to right the ship, but it doesn't change anything as far as his playing time or anything goes. Couple other things before we get out of here real quick, Matt. Got a conspiracy theory for you. You interested?
Love them, always.
So I was writing this column for Locked On Bulls last night for our site, and you guys can go read it. I spent like 2,500 words trying to dive into all the national takes, and Matt, I don't know why I did this to myself, but I did. So... But I did come across a lot of interesting points, a lot of things that made me chuckle, a lot of things that made me want to drive my head through the wall. But beyond that, I did find one thing that I found very curious, and maybe this is nothing, but maybe it is something. So Woj went on SVP late on Monday night to talk about the Bulls' issues. And, throughout that conversation, about 4 or 5 minutes, at the back end of the episode, the headline reads this. Underneath where Woj is talking, it says, Bulls head coach Jim Boylan on the Woj pod Tuesday. Download on Apple Podcasts. So that was Monday night. Now, today's Friday, and there's no episode out. No mention of what happened. I've scrolled through Twitter. I've looked at every possible source to find out if maybe it was just a travel thing. Like, the Bulls went to Mexico on Tuesday. I get it. Maybe there wasn't plans, but my thing is okay, that's a valid argument, but I mean, if you're going to advertise a podcast on a national stage like the SVP show with a guy who's as tapped in as anybody as Woj, like, something had to happen. Maybe it was just a simple cancellation, but I feel like the episode would have been recorded prior to that appearance on SVP, and that would have been dropped on Tuesday. Like, it wouldn't be like they were going to record this on Tuesday and drop it same day. Like, that's not how I don't think this would have went down. So, did it get canceled? Is it just delayed? Did the Bulls not want Boylan to go on a podcast and speak about all of this? Like, what are your thoughts on it? Because there's no episode, and nobody's asked, and there's no follow-up of, oh yeah, they canceled because of travel, whatever. And maybe it's just on delay, but there's something here to that.
It could just be something as simple as, oh, right, we forgot we have to go to Mexico today, so we're going to delay this interview or cancel it or whatever. Or it could be that somebody within the Bulls organization said, hey, I don't know if Boylan going on Woj's podcast and doing a long-winded interview with him is what this team needs right now. There's already a lot of attention. Paxson's, you know, laughably trying to spin this into a positive, saying we had a good week when you know, lost a pair of games by 70 points or so, both on the home floor. You get booed off your home floor on back-to-back games, and you have a near mutiny on your hands. That, especially the way that we have seen Boylan approach the media, at least give credit to the guy for having a pulse after having to listen to Fred Hoiberg for 3 years and change, and his pre- and post-game interviews and his shoot-around interviews and any media stuff with Fred. Like, at least Boylan's entertaining. But he has already said some pretty confusing, contradictory stuff as far as what he is.
Mind-numbingly dumb.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just when he goes out there and tries to say his rah-rah stuff and Boylan tries to spin his stuff, like, he has not come across that great. Other than being entertaining, I don't think he's made the best first impression as a head coach since taking over for Fred. So maybe somebody in that Bulls organization said, this isn't a great time for our new head coach who's juggling all of this stuff to go do a podcast right now. Maybe there's something there.
I get that, and I get that from the Bulls' perspective too, and if they wanted to shut down the thing. But I like, Woj would ask decent questions and give Boylan the chance to kind of explain himself, and I felt like, you know, press conferences and asking coaches and media scrums are a hell of a lot different than being able to get a chance to just kind of sit down and talk through some of this stuff. And this was an opportunity I felt like Boylan could actually explain what he wants to do with this team going forward in an extensive format instead of just throwing buzzwords at us. Because I don't know about you, Matt, but besides the things we heard in his first press conference, I don't know what Boylan wants to do. I said that a couple days ago. I still don't know what he wants to do with these guys. Like, you can throw good spirit and buzzwords all you want at us, but
where their hearts are and where their spirits are really in a good place.
At some point, you guys start talking about basketball and how you're going to get these guys to improve. Like, that's what I haven't heard from him. And so,
no, I'm with you, and I would have loved to hear that kind of stuff from Jim Boylan in an extended interview, but this maybe wasn't Jim Boylan canceling on Woj.
I agree.
Like I said, like this, I mean, we heard John Paxson say something earlier this week about how, well, it's nobody's business but our own, to be honest with you, right? When he was talking about their coaching change, and we're like, wait, what? It's nobody's business but your own? Like, people are just trying to get the scoop on what's going on with your coaching change right now and the struggles that your new coach has had trying to take over and take the reins. How is that nobody's business but your own? You are in a very public eye business, John Paxson. So I feel like there is a very good chance that John Paxson maybe doesn't have a lot of faith in Boylan, not as a head coach. He clearly wants to have faith in Boylan as the head coach, but as an interviewee to say the right things. You saw Boylan struggle mightily to explain the Jabari situation during his post-game comments last night. He is not very eloquent when it comes to explaining stuff that he's just learning on the fly. He bombed the Jabari questions last night, no question about it. So maybe this was Paxson saying, I don't really want our dirty laundry out there, because our dirty laundry, according to Paxson's own words, is nobody's dirty laundry but their
own. You're spot on about that. Yeah, and I don't think this is on Boylan at all. I think if he given the opportunity, he's a guy who wants to talk. Like, he would defend himself. Like, through all of this, he hasn't been afraid to come out and say what he feels and answer questions and answer the difficult questions, even if they're the answers that kind of leave yourself scratching your head. But yeah, I would have actually liked to hear him talk in an extensive format with a guy who's so tapped in as Woj is. But maybe that's still coming. But I would say right now maybe it's not, and maybe it does. But later in the season, when things start to blow over a little bit, we'll see. But I think we should keep our eyes on that. But it just goes back to controlling the main media narrative and controlling all of this, and it only makes it worse for the Bulls. The more you try to contain this and make cover it up and sweep it under the rug, the worse it gets. And that's what the Bulls are doing here right now. And I don't know. I just the approach that they've taken to this entire mess and addressing it with the media has just been terrible over the last 2 weeks.
How's all that, you know, building a great culture going? open lines of communication, yeah, right? And trust. Speaking of buzzwords, what a joke.
A few other things real fast, Matt. So just continuing on the national broadcast thing. Don't know if you caught the Warriors-Raptors game on Wednesday night on ESPN, but Jeff Van Gundy made it mention to troll the Bulls on the main broadcast. I don't agree with what Van Gundy was saying because
Van Gundy's an idiot.
He was going off the rails, and what's confusing is he's been somebody who's been against the Bulls front office. Like he's been known to say things against them and show accountability for them. But the quote that gets me is...
NBA is going to come out and say the Chicago Bulls don't have to play back-to-backs anymore. Like they don't...
They should have practiced, right?
No, I think it's always good when you lose by 56 at home to stage a mutiny. I think that's always better. And, like, it's been overlooked now that no one's even talking that they've been... Like, they got beat by 56 and then 30 at home. The next game, I mean...
Yeah, it looked like they let go of the rope or something was terribly wrong.
First of all, people are talking about the 56-point loss, so that's just dumb. The Bulls didn't lose by 30, they lost to 19 to the Kings. Fine. And then, like, just the narrative about them losing and wanting to quit the practice is not the case. Like, I don't understand how these national guys go up there and talk about this and don't understand the background of it.
They don't know. They don't know what they're talking about. The 56-point loss is on Boylan as much as it is on the players. I'm not absolving the players of their effort in that game against the Celtics. It was bad.
Me either.
But the 56-point margin, which had, you know, the other people around the country, not just here in Chicago, raising an eyebrow, they didn't even bother to figure out why it was a 56-point loss. And it was a 56-point loss because Boylan took out his good players for the entire second half. So, I mean, beginning and end of story is Jeff Van Gundy's an idiot next.
Couple others. Kevin McHale called the Bulls players entitled selfish brats who aren't having any fun.
A Trump-supporting idiot next.
Jim Rome.
Dude, he had that TV show Jim Rome is Burning for years on ESPN.
Right, and now I just didn't think people followed him anymore, but he's 1.35 million Twitter followers, so I guess he is still pretty big. He's got his own show on CBS Sports Radio, and man, this was juicy. Like, this was 5 minutes of just going straight in on the Bulls and trolling them. My favorite quote was...
According to Yahoo, in that meeting with the players on Sunday, quote, Boylan repeatedly referenced his days on the Spurs staff and instances in which Coach Greg Popovich pulled all five players off the floor to send a message, sources said. A player responded, sources said, telling Boylan, in essence, they aren't the Spurs, and more importantly, he isn't Popovich. Damn. I mean, once again, always one thing for a knucklehead like me to point out that Jim Boylan is not Greg Popovich, but quite another for one of his own players to say the exact same thing. I mean, a Chicago Bull has not dunked on anybody that hard since Scott Pippen threw down on Pat Ewing and then stepped over him.
And then he followed the end of his rant with,
Sacramento Kings are talking junk about your 2.5-hour practices. I mean, holy crap. Now you have reached a stage where the opposing team is openly mocking you. If beating the Thunder gets you cereal and Family Feud reruns, what does getting booed off the court against the Kings get you? Hot pockets and match game reruns? Either way, the Bulls are my favorite new team.
And at least as far as the you know, the national guys taking takes and shots at the Bulls, he was at least a little bit more informed and well-informed and formulated his opinion from somewhere other than, oh, the Bulls up by 56.
That's what I appreciated about that. Matt, anything else from you before we head out for the weekend?
Nah, man. What a week. What a week we have had talking about this team. I'm ready. Ready for 2 days off. The Bulls are playing tomorrow night, so I got to do Bulls Outsiders tomorrow night. But at least take a day on Sunday to just not think about this team, not worry about this team. That's what I tried to do last Sunday. And then that's when all this stuff came out about the mutiny. So hopefully at least we get a little bit of quiet time over the weekend to take a deep breath or two, regroup, and see what this team does from here. Because we got big fish to fry. We got a Bears-Packers game that could clinch the division for the Bears and send the Packers home for good. So, like, can we please just enjoy that and not have to think about, oh, God, what's the latest update from the Advocate Center in this joke of an organization this season? I need a
break. I'll be on Bryce Harper watch all weekend and continue to be on Bryce Harper watch until further notice. And I'm just going to say this, if Sox don't get him or Machado, I'm going to be severely depressed for a while. So,
and you know what? If the Cubs can't make it happen, I hope your White Sox get him. I really do.
Yeah, paying Jason Hayward and Yu Darvish.
Solely because it will allow us to make even more fun of Jerry Reinsdorf and the fact that he doesn't give a single fuck about his NBA team.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. You can follow us on social media on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShotBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. If you like what we're doing here, if you like our show, we would love it if you give us a 5-star review. So Apple iTunes would be helpful. Anywhere you get your podcast, you can submit a review. If you can leave a good review for us, that helps us. So thank you again for being great listeners. And if you do that for us, shout out to you. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful weekend. Back on Monday with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
New favorite team. I can't wait to see what's going to happen to them next. Hey, Chicago, you know me. I'm a glass half full guy. I always like to give you something positive. If I give you something negative, I want to balance it out by giving you something positive. So let me give you some good news. Your football team is bad ass. Now let me give you the bad news. Your basketball team is just plain ass. Football team, badass. Basketball team, plain ass. I love these guys.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.